So this is always a slightly weird diagnosis when you first hear of it, but once you take home the concept, super fucking easy going forward, and this will become a very buzzy type question for you, where when you have the combination of long bone fractures, this guy fractured his femur here, the combination of long bone fractures, a pulmonary embolism-like picture where you get dyspnea, tachycardia, and then you get petechiae over the trunk, chest, shoulders, that equals fat embolism, okay? So you get bone marrow release from the long bone fracture. That's going, the fat from the bone marrow is going to chelate platelets, cause thrombocytopenia, and that justifies the petechiae on the trunk, chest, shoulders, okay? Easy diagnosis here. If you haven't heard of it before, once again, it's weird, but going forward, quite easy. Now, looking at some of the wrong answer choices, I really don't want to go into a 90-minute oral presentation on all the heme stuff. There's a lot we can talk about. I'll just give you some key points here. Disseminated intravascular coagulation, choice A, wrong answer. For DIC, most questions are going to give you a patient who has bleeding from catheter sites or IV lines, okay? And it's often in the setting of trauma or sepsis, and sometimes with amniotic fluid embolism in pregnancy, sometimes when you're treating acute myelogenous leukemia and you get release of our rods into the blood. But DIC, USMLE likes to give you arrow type questions for the hematologic parameters, where you've got increased bleeding time, increased PT, increased PTT, you're going to have decreased fibrinogen, you'll have increased D-dimer, you'll have increased plasmin activity. Once again, don't want to go into a 90-minute oral presentation on that. This question is just focused on fat embolism. Choice C, pulmonary thromboembolism. Not a bad answer in the sense that this guy just had fractures and he's in hospital and, you know, likely immobilized, right? So these patients are at increased risk of pulmonary embolism, absolutely. And when you see the tachycardia and dyspnea, yeah, for sure. Sounds like a pulmonary embolism. Yet we have petechiae over the trunk, chest, shoulders, right? So we just said that's fat embolism. It's our classic presentation here. And then we look at sepsis. Sepsis is just going to be when you have systemic inflammatory response syndrome where your vitals are awry in the context of an infection, okay? In the setting of an infection. I don't want to get too clinical in terms of describing all these things, but I think you should just know that when your vitals are off and you have a source of infection, that that points toward sepsis, okay? Now, thrombocytopenic purpura. Actually, no, I'll give you one more key point for step one. In sepsis, you should be aware that your peripheral vascular resistance is decreased and your cardiac output and venous return are increased. They like giving you those arrow questions for sepsis. Now, thrombocytopenic purpura, a wrong answer for choice E. This is classically going to be antibodies against or a mutation in a protein called ADAMTS13. Sounds weird. ADAMTS13 is a matrix metalloproteinase that will break down von Willebrand factor multimers. Okay, and long story short, you classically get a pentad of renal insufficiency, thrombocytopenia, schistocytosis with hemolytic anemia, and you'll get neurologic signs and a fever, okay? Once again, I could literally give a 90-minute presentation on all these things. For the sake of this question and just staying concise enough, I want you to take home this buzzy presentation of someone who's had long bone fractures, plus now has a PE-like picture with tachycardia and dyspnea, and then has petechiae over the trunk, chest, shoulders. This is fat embolism. Okay, that's it.